American Journal. Some of you guys know it's been a busy week for me back in studio now. Glad to be here. It's kind of cold in Austin. You know, no one told me when I moved to Texas that it actually gets really, really cold. I've been here a lot, but not, I guess I missed the whole winter. I guess every time I came here, I missed winter. I didn't know winter happened in Austin, Texas, but it's happening and it's cold. It's very, very cold, but it feels like Christmas. That was the one thing I didn't get when I was in South Florida. So it's a big difference, I'd say. We have a jam-packed program for you still up ahead as we head our way into the second hour of the show. As many of you know, if you saw me on X today, I was kind of going off a little bit about Piers Morgan. You probably don't like him. I don't like him. I usually don't voice my personal opinions on individuals, but because he's not American, I figured let's just let it rip. Let's let it rip. I'll kind of detail it at length, but I found out today that Piers Morgan blocked me after I declined to go on his show. How dare you decline to go on Piers Morgan's show? I did say yes once before, and then they ghosted me because they found out I was going to talk about Tommy Robinson, which I think they had a jailhouse source in that. And then quickly, they did come back around a couple months later and started asking me to come on all the time. Oh, just come on. We want Tommy Robinson on there too. Now all of a sudden they want to talk to Tommy Robinson, but they only want to talk to Tommy Robinson because they want him to. Tommy Robinson has a gag order. He can't talk. And you know that Piers Morgan hates him, despises him. Like anytime he could say Tommy Robinson's name, he says it. And so that would be the reason why he wants to have him on. But folks, Piers Morgan wants me on his show. I said no, and then I got blocked. So I've got a lot of names to call Piers Morgan. And we're going to do that in just a little bit with Matthew Marsden. Matthew Marsden has a British accent, so he comes from a place of authority on this issue. And that's the reason why we asked him to do this for me. I also want to have on to the show today my good friend, Joseph McBride. We'll have him on in just a little bit. He is our criminal defense attorney, seventh by hour. I guess... Just like my point of reference. Anytime I have a question, a legal question, I usually turn to McBride. He's incredible what he does. And I've got a lot of questions in regards to the pipe bomber. I mean, I am no great legal analyst, even though I used to binge watch Nancy Grace back in the day when I was a kid. That's pretty much my legal background these days. But I want to ask him about this criminal complaint. Maybe he sees something of substance here. He's a criminal defense attorney, so he would know if this is a slam dunk. We're also going to ask him, too, about Letitia James, because she was not indicted by a grand jury. He just rejected it completely. So what's next? Are we going to appeal? Well, that's my question for McBride as well. Also, McBride will be joining me to discuss Dan Bongino, the deputy director of the FBI. He was once someone who loved to publicly speak out and give his takes on things. Now, suddenly, he's not doing just that in opinion-wise, but he did insert his opinion here. He actually did refer to Miranda Devine as Deep State Devine. Miranda Devine is absolutely incredible. Dan Bongino just had his feelings hurt, and so he went after the Queen. Now, McBride knows Miranda quite well, so we'll get his take on that as well in this hour of the show. We'll be taking your calls in the next hour, the third hour of the program, and also Mel Kay joining me as well. Mel Kay, I got a lot of questions for her. Remember that story last week about that Afghan refugee who shot two guardsmen in D.C.? Well, my question specifically for Mel is, he's got a tie to the CIA. He used to work for the CIA. So what the heck's going on here? Well, obviously, she's someone who knows very well about the Zero Unit. She's actually writing a book about the CIA. And so I look forward to getting her take on that as well. So a lot to discuss in the second hour and third hour of the program. So don't go anywhere. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because today's the last day to win a Jeep 392 plus $10,000 in cash. Plus, every time you make a purchase over at the shop, you guys are going to get 50 times the entries right now over thealexjonesstore.com. And you could also potentially win two vehicles, not just the Jeep. We've also got a Ford Raptor up right now over at thealexjonesstore.com that you could possibly win, plus $20,000 in cash potentially. I mean, it's a lot of money, a lot of cars. So now's the perfect time to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. And also, we have buy one, get one free on our supplements going on right now. Again, that is a limited time sale. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you buy up because, folks, these sales, these incredible deals, and potentially to win two cars and 20 grand in cash, well, that's not going to last forever. We got a couple more hours left in that. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. All right, more on the way in a second. Don't go anywhere.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 98% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry, the InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time. So take action now, InfoWarsStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to The American Journal. It's good to have you all on board with us on this beautiful Friday morning as we kick off the second hour of the program. A lot to dive into. If you saw me on X earlier today, you probably saw I was a little fired up this morning when I woke up. Not because I was angry or anything, but because, you know, when I was gone and covering the Pentagon, I received a text message. I received a couple of text messages, and I was very busy, a very busy person. But Piers Morgan's producers reached out, and they had asked me to come on his show. Now, Piers Morgan had asked me in the past one time, the very first time I did say yes, and then they quickly ghosted me. I'll explain why in a little bit. But I've declined several times now, and it's because I don't really like Piers Morgan. I don't. When we go over what happened during the pandemic, Piers Morgan was one of the major talking heads who went out there and lied to the people of this country and people in the UK. He had no problem going after those who stood for medical freedom, and he called them mean, mean names and tried to generalize all of us, anti-vaxxers and such. And they tried to make it seem like we were the problem. So I wrote his producer and just said, I'm not interested in ever going on with Piers. Now, they asked for a reason, and I got very busy, so I couldn't respond. I did send them a reason today, though. I probably won't put that on air right now. Maybe on X. I'm not afraid of what I said. It's just a little, you know, vulgar. After I learned that he blocked me after that message. But hear me out. After I declined going on, he blocked my Twitter account. Piers Morgan is a treasonous pig. There's no other way to look at this. He has sat back, and he's watched his country decay. And although people are all of a sudden saying, oh, he's an advocate for free speech, he has a show that's called Uncensored, they truly believe that he is an advocate for free speech, but he's not. That's why you see him focusing on American politics rather than the politics in his own country. His own country is an absolute hellhole right now. You can't speak freely in the UK because, well, they'll throw you in prison. Thousands of Brits have been tossed in prison because they wanted to speak freely, something they can't do. And he knows that. That's why he's so focused on American politics. He won't dare to call out his own because if he does, well, off to the slammer he goes. And then you have to put Piers Morgan on a diet. And if you were to find out what a jailhouse diet looks like, he wouldn't want to be there. You see, Piers Morgan has traded his people in, Brits, natives, for Indian food. He historically put up a tweet the other day where he outlined just that, that in fact, he would trade white people in for his favorite Indian dish. Now, given the fact that I am very base, I've actually never even had curry because, well, it's a very sensitive topic here. But I know what's going on in this country right now. I know what's going on in the UK. I know that they have traded our people in, and they have now decided that they're going to replace us with people who are really don't love us, don't love the Western way of life, and people who, like you've seen before, men specifically, are going around their country raping their children and women. Now, Piers Morgan has given a platform to a couple of the victims, but he's been a louder advocate for the men doing just that. So although he sits there and pretends like I'm giving these women a platform, he does it when it's safe. Piers Morgan is all about speaking out on issues when it's safe. Now that we've won the information war, he loves to have conservatives on his show, but he was always the enemy. He was the one who was going out there and pushing the false narratives to the globalist pigs who were destroying both of our countries. Now, obviously, we look across the pond and we could see what's happened in the UK, and we know exactly why that's all happened. They don't have a constitution. They've surrendered their weapons. In fact, as many of you guys know, time and time again, you saw in the video when an Egyptian-born man came after me in a stairwell. You know what saved my life? A gun. They can't do that in the UK. So that's why people like Piers Morgan, instead of defending women and children, have found themselves aligned with the garbage they've imported over these last few decades. Now, again, Piers Morgan is someone who doesn't speak out on issues until it's trendy to get a couple of views. Now, I could have sat on Piers Morgan's show and called him a bunch of names. I could have. But then he would have gotten clicks, and that's what he wants. He wants clicks. He doesn't care if he's attacked. He doesn't care. He wants people to tune into his show now. He is a mouthpiece for everything that we hate that's going on right now in this world. I won't give him that. I did, though, at one point, and I'll be transparent here, I did tell Pierce that I would go on his show. This happened when Tommy Robinson was in prison. You see, Tommy Robinson was in prison because, well, they didn't like his coverage. They tried their very best in the UK to censor him, so they threw him in solitary confinement. And while Tommy Robinson was sitting in solitary confinement, being abused by the government, Pierce would go out there and rip him on the daily. Still does to this day. And so I wanted to be Tommy Robinson's voice, his defense. So I reached out. I said yes when they sent me the invitation. Just tell, when would you like me on? I was told it was going to be the following week. And then I didn't hear from his producer after I confirmed. And I followed up that day and even sent them a text message, and they ignored me. But they probably had found out something that I had done behind the scenes. I had reached out to Tommy Robinson in prison and asked Tommy Robinson for a statement that I could read on air when I was on with Pierce in his defense. Pierce Morgan, such a man where he has to attack someone when he's supposed to be silent through gag orders that are still ongoing. And he's such a man that he does it when he's locked up in solitary confinement, being abused by the same government that has, well, Piers Morgan tied up and refusing to speak out on these issues. So, of course, Tommy Robinson did send me back a statement. But you know what happened? The jail wouldn't let me read the message that was sent. No, they didn't. They actually told me that they were blocking it. But then suddenly, when it was my time to go on Piers Morgan's show, you know what happens? His producer, the same producer that reached out to me a couple of days ago, actually was MIA ghosting me. So now they claim that they want Tommy Robinson on their show, but why do they want him on? Well, as many of you guys know, Tommy Robinson is a very emotional man because he is fighting for women and obviously children of the UK, and he wants to make sure that they have a future where they can walk down a street without being worried about being raped by foreigners. But he has a gag order that if he speaks out on certain issues, he will be quickly swept up and thrown back into solitary confinement where they will abuse him again. So why would Pierce want him on the show? We'll probably debate him. Because Pierce is an evil, treasonous pig who has more hatred in his heart for Tommy Robinson than love for his country. Joining me now to discuss is Matthew Marsden. He is an actor. He also has a British accent, so I feel like he speaks from a place of authority here. And he joins me now. Okay, Matthew. So listen, here's my thing, right? I'm a little fired up over this story because I was actually going through your Twitter page, reading what you put up about Piers Morgan. I was like, oh, let me just go to Piers Morgan's page to read the original tweet. And that's when I learned I was blocked. So you got me fired up this morning. What are your thoughts on all of this, though? Because Piers Morgan seems to be focused, hyper-focused on American politics rather than his own politics from his own country.
Well, firstly, thank you for having me on again. It's good to be on the show. Yeah, there's a lot going on here. So firstly, to unpack it, I think what you have to look at first and foremost is when Piers Morgan came over to America, as I came over to America, we had two very different approaches to immigration. When I came here, I started reading about the founding fathers. I started looking into what made America great. And coming from a similar, I don't say like a similar background because we're from very different backgrounds, but similar cultures, what that allowed me to do when I came here was look and say, okay, why is there a Second Amendment? Why is there a First Amendment? What is the Constitution? And look at it with fresh eyes rather than coming to this country and dictating the way that this country should be based upon where I came from. Now, this is a massive issue with immigration anyway. So if you think of it like that, where I come over here, I look and I start researching why the country is where it is, come from a background where we didn't have guns, to come here and understand why it is vital that Americans have guns. That is a different perspective. And we all remember that Piers was very anti-Second Amendment. Well, if you don't have a Second Amendment, you can't have a First Amendment. And if you don't have a First Amendment, you don't have a right to free speech. And as you said earlier on, England has a tradition and Great Britain has a tradition of free speech, not something that is enshrined in any kind of constitution. That's very, very important to understand, because if you look at what's going on in the UK, the people that are coming into the UK are not assimilating. They're not trying to find out what is going on in the country, what the background of the country is, and what the culture of that country is. And that's a huge problem. So for me, I find that an issue, because when I came to America, I looked at it like that. I looked and I said, I'm a guest in this country. I'm privileged to be in this country. So I should adopt the traditions and history of this country. Piers didn't. So when I look at what's going on in the UK, I think that immigrants into that country should abide by those same rules. He doesn't. So you can see the difference in mindset there, right, Brianna? That's a very, very different attitude. Now, the other thing to be mindful of, in America, there isn't a class system. In America, you can come here, you can be working class, you can be lower class, you can clean the toilets for a living and then become a multimillionaire and change the way that you live your life, right? Change the quality of life that you have. And that is the American dream. If you work hard enough, you can achieve whatever you want in the United States. It is not like that in the United Kingdom. There is a class system. You have very much like working class, which we consider to be like a blue collar background. Middle class is not what it means here, right? It's not. It's very much more wealthy. And then you've got the aristocracy, right? So those are the three levels. And when you look at that, the people that are being affected the most by the mass immigration into the United Kingdom are the working class, which is where I came from. So these are my people. That's not where Piers comes from. Piers is from a middle class kid. And by the way, good for him. His parents did very well. This isn't a hate thing. Good for him. His parents did well, sent him to a great school. He went through college, whatever. But what that does is there's a little bit of a disconnect between the people on the ground and what they're feeling, which for the most part is the working class communities in the United Kingdom. And they're seeing this this kind of mass invasion, which is what it is, completely disrupt their life and completely disrupt their culture. And so it's important to remember that when everything goes down, when what is going to happen, there's going to be disorder in the United Kingdom, there's going to be violence. I've been saying this for a very long time. Piers can hop on a plane and go wherever he wants. Mm. My people, the working class people I grew up with, they can't. They're stuck there dealing with it. And so what you are seeing there, Brianna, is this kind of elitist attitude. Even though you might not see packaged like that, I mean, you do sometimes on X where they're like, oh, Tommy Robinson, because he has a certain accent, he's a dummy, he's this, he's that. And so what they do is they use ad hominem attacks to actually not address the issues that he's talking about. And I think that this is where you have this massive disconnect. You have someone that doesn't really understand what is going on, and someone that really, until it affects them personally, they're not involved. They don't care about it. They want to live in this kumbaya world. Well, I don't, because my mom, my sister, my son, they're all still over in that situation. So it's very personal to me. And I do feel like until it's very personal for them, they're not going to do anything. They're not going to see how bad this is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, interesting. Also, I should add this angle to it, too. Tommy Robinson really only started doing what he does now because one of his family members was sexually assaulted by one of these Pakistani men. So this is why he does all of this activism work. And although I know a lot of people don't like his stance on Israel, the reality of it is it didn't start with his stance on Israel. It started with his family member being the victim in a sexual assault case. And that's when he made sure that this was going to be his destiny, where he advocated for these victims. I want to play clip 13 for you as well. Marsden, because this one is Piers Morgan trying to justify that tweet that he put out in regards to trading white people in for Indian food. Take a listen to his defense.
There's a lot of white English people that you would trade for a good weekly chicken tikka masala.
Yeah.
Would you trade any other groups of people in England?
Well, yeah, of course I would. And nobody has actually asked me, so thank you for bringing it up.
Yeah, this is
who I meant by a lot of white English people. It was people like Tommy Robinson and his followers who'd been spewing the most horrific racist abuse in the last 3 weeks or so. And I would quite happily swap Tommy Robinson for a chicken tikka masala. The general point I was making is that I believe that my country, England, is not fallen. It's not stricken. It's not been invaded by foreigners. I believe there are genuine, legitimate issues in our country about the way immigration has been handled. But we are and remain a template, actually, of how multiculturalism can work. However, I have also been supportive of people like Robinson when they've been exposing the grooming gangs and things like that. I don't pretend there aren't issues with immigration. I do hit back at the idea that my country is fallen. And that somehow England or London in particular has been run over and it's like Armageddon here. Honestly, come to England, come to London. I'll take you out for a chicken tikka masala or a fish and chips and you won't see a country that's fallen. But you will see that successive governments on left and right have woefully mishandled our immigration.
Okay, so Marston, he claims that, you know, the UK hasn't fallen, but if I were to go to the UK, it's very likely that I would end up being arrested or detained. We had an individual on this show who was detained when he actually made his way back to the UK from the US because of his social media posts where he is constantly wearing bacon and he makes jokes about Muslims in the country. And they didn't like that, so they pulled him in and actually seized his phone and used their terrorism act, I believe it was, to go through his phone and make him hand over his password. He was just on our show a couple of weeks ago. So there is issues with the UK. He just seems to be kind of going over it and just not criticizing them. Do you think that there's issues there right now that are going on, or are we overdoing this?
Oh, no, you're not overdoing it at all. I mean, I have absolutely no doubt that I would be arrested if I went back there just for things that I've said that 5 years ago wouldn't have been a problem. I mean, there's so much to unpack there in what he said. Has the UK fallen? Yes, it has. It has. If you are looking at right now a Labour government that has been throwing people in jail for memes and social media posts, that's an issue.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a country that's spread freedom all around the world. Now, you know, people have criticized the colonialist and the, you know, the imperial British. But the truth is, look at the places after the places, certainly in Africa, after Great Britain and England pulled out. I mean, they descended into chaos. But you have an issue there where there's this cognitive dissonance. I went back to the UK last year. I lived in London for some time. I lived in London. I lived in Manchester. I'm from a little place that's just north of Birmingham. Mm-hmm. It was unrecognizable to me. And I think that it's really important to understand this. When you go to London, the things you see were things built 100 years ago or longer, right? If you go there, all right, there's been it's the banking capital pretty much of the world there with New York. So there's a lot of money in the city of London. But the places you go to, they're not places that have been created over the past 10, 15 years. They're, you know, you can go to Downing Street, you can go to Piccadilly Circus, you can go and see all these, like the Tower of London, which is my favorite place. But without a shadow of a doubt, it had changed since when I'd been there. And I felt uncomfortable at times going down the street. And I know that place like the back of my hand. So that's it's absolutely not true what he's saying. And I think that, you know, there needs to be a bit of understanding here and a bit of empathy for someone like Tommy Robinson, because he's been out there for years. He's been thrown in jail. You can't just say, oh, well, I agree with what he says on the grooming gangs and just dismiss everything else. You know, he's been right on a whole bunch of things, but also he's been vilified for what he said about the grooming gangs. Like, hindsight is 2020, right? It's like now they want to say, as you said earlier on, Piers was what he said about COVID. You know that I stood up against the COVID mandates and about the vaccinations. And now people are memory holding that. It could have been a lot worse and it was really bad. But people like Piers should have stood up for people like us who turned around and said, look, we want to have our own freedom to say no to these things. You don't just get to go, oh, well, you know, that's okay, it's gone now, and move on. We were looking at, and it was right now, a draconian situation with the government coming in, keeping you in your home, telling, don't forget, Brianna, and again, the memory holding on this is unbelievable. There were people out there that couldn't hold the hands of their loved ones while they died.
Yeah,
this is horrendous. And we're just kind of like glazing over that, glazing over what's going on with Tommy Robinson. In 1 week you had, for example, I know in my hometown in Walsall, a girl was followed by an Afghan migrant, asylum, whatever it is, which to me, they are invaders.
Yeah.
They are invaders. And he says, we don't have invaders. Yes, we do. They followed this girl to the train station and stabbed her to death. One of those people, Brianna, is one too many. There was another guy that was stabbed to death by an Afghan migrant walking his dog. I mean, there was the son of Somalians went and killed three little beautiful girls and would have killed more. It's not going to end. There are more people that are going to die, but guess who isn't going to be affected by that? Piers Morgan. He's not going to be affected by that. And the lack of empathy and the lack of understanding what it means to regular folks, just one person dying. I said that over here. The moment that an illegal immigrant, because I'm not allowed to say that anymore, right? Illegal immigrant is killed on here, then the borders should go up and people need to be deported immediately.
Yeah.
Well, there's no question about that.
Morrison, that's what people would say if they truly love their country and the people of their country. They would make sure of that. And that's what's so sad about this. And I like how you detailed. He is an elitist. He thinks he's better than everyone. And now that he sees that he could get ratings by having all these conservatives on who are, when at the height of cancel culture, were being targeted by cancel culture. I mean, they asked me a couple of weeks ago to come on to talk about Nick Fuentes. Go get Nick Fuentes on your show. Don't ask me to talk about another person and their speech, because I am not here to sit here and speak out about other people's speech. It's so absurd. Now he's having Nick Fuentes on. Why? Because it's safe and it's a ratings booster. And so now he's okay with bringing him and having him on his show. And he thinks that people like myself going on his show is like the platform, the proof that you are a patriot who loves your country. And he tries to make people feel like declining the invitation to come on his program is somehow questioning your level of patriotism. It's totally absurd. And you know what? When the cancel culture mob came for him, I said at the time it was wrong, but the reality of it is this man hasn't suffered enough consequences for his behavior. And he continues to go out there and to target people for their speech and still speaks ill of Tommy Robinson, says that he says racist things, but can't actually give a direct quote. I've never heard Tommy Robinson say anything racist publicly at all, or even privately in our private conversation. And so here he is continuously going out there and doing just that. So he's an absolute disgrace. But you know what, Marzin, you're not a disgrace. And you also have an incredible social media account to give a follow. So everyone online right now, give him a follow on X. Matthew D. Marzin. That's what you're going to want to follow right now on X. And you are also on YouTube as well. Matthew D. Marzin as well. Marzin, thank you for joining us. You know, I always appreciate your takes on these issues, of course. And we look forward to having you back on again soon. So thank you, my friend.
Thank you for having me.
All right, folks, I want to let you know that we have a couple more hours left on a very incredible giveaway going on right now over at the alexjonesstore.com. It is the last day to enter to win the Jeep 392 plus $10,000 in cash. It's interesting because whenever you make a purchase right now, you're going to get 50 times the entries to enter to possibly win two cars, actually. It's not just the Jeep. It's two of these vehicles. And so ultimately, and $20,000 in cash too, I should say. So head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com, because again, you could win up to 20 grand plus two cars, you know, the Ford Raptor and the Jeep you see there on your screen. Plus, we're also doing buy one, get one free on all supplements right now. So it is a great time to stock up if you are in the need to do just that. So head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. All right, more on the way. Don't go anywhere.
Nicotinamide. Now that's $1,000 word. But what it is the raw precursor of NAD. Now NAD energizes the entire body, cleans out the cells. It's amazing. But most people cannot absorb raw NAD. That's why you need the precursor, which this product has from organic form. but has so much more. Ladies and gentlemen, we are so excited to announce this new product, DNA Reviver. This doesn't just have the precursor to NAD in it. It's got all the other organic compounds you know to clean out your cells, give you incredible energy with no letdown, and supercharge your overall health. Right now, you get this product out of the gates, massively discounted at thealexshowstore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, all the products are incredible. They all work synergistically together. But I've got to tell you, Ultra DNA Revival is a game changer for everyone. Young people, works great for them. But particularly middle-aged and older folks will really feel the difference. Now, things like our ultramethylene blue hits in 15 to 20, 30 minutes. Okay? Our sea moss takes a week or so to build up. So does the bovine colostrum. Same thing with this. A week to 2 weeks, but within a month, 90-plus percent of people report incredible changes on every front. You need to go out and do your own research into NAD. You do your own research into all the ingredients that are in this product. And then realize this is the private label of a nationwide bestseller that has the top reviews in the country. Most of the products at TheAlexShowStore.com, we didn't invent. We go out. What has the highest ratings? What's the most tested? What has the best reviews? They let us private label it, and we sell it to you. That way you get a great product at a competitive price, and you keep the show on the air. So take advantage of this new product right now, Ultra DNA Revival, at TheAlexShowStore.com, and know that it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide. But if you don't get DNA Revival, you're really missing out. You owe it to yourself, your family, and to your overall health to try this product. You can't lose. It funds the operation, and we know it really works. Here's some of the known effects this compound delivers. Noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes. Faster recovery and greater endurance. Sharper focus and mental clarity. Support for healthy blood sugar levels already in the normal range. Stronger immune function. Enhanced liver health and natural detoxification. Reduced everyday stress, anxiety, and protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And it just gets better from there. Ultra DNA Revival is the newest addition to TheAlexShowStore.com, and we're extremely excited about it. If I could get a racehorse that had just won the Triple Crown and run it the next few races, I'd do it. It's that simple. And that's what I've done. If I could get Tom Brady at his peak to be my quarterback, I would. Well, that's how private labeling works. We go out to the top firms with the highest ratings, the best customer reviews, and we simply say, can we private label it? And in every case, they say, yeah, we can private label it. So it's not like we're reinventing the wheel. Whatever is the hottest, best reviews that people love, we go out and we get it. So when you get it, you love it. Well, that's what Ultra DNA Revival is all about. It's a private label, a best-selling brand that is simply amazing. You can empower your body, your immune system, your health, your clarity, your libido, your focus, and literally clean out your cells while at the same time funding this operation in the face of the globalists. That, my friends, is a 360 win at TheAlexShowStore.com.
The bat phone is ringing off the hook. The Joker is at it again.
Quick, Robin. We must analyze this threat. Do you have a location on the Joker, Robin?
Yes, he's at the abandoned warehouse on Fifth Street.
I'm sick of that newscom Joker. He's going down, Robin!
Blast you, Bat Brain! Must you ruin every rib-tickling riddle I concoct?
He thought he was going to get away with all of that Ultra DNA Revival!
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. All right, we're halfway through the second hour of the program. Excited that you're all joining us today, of course. A lot that we still haven't been able to kind of dig through, specifically the JSX pipe bomber story. I'll bring you the latest on that in just a moment. In the meantime, though, we will be taking your calls in the third hour of the program. So give us a call if you'd like to discuss any of the topics we've discussed thus far. That's 877-789-2539, 877-789-2539. Let's keep those topics relevant to the topics we've discussed thus far. Yesterday, we had some callers on the line we didn't get to because some of the calls went long, so I want to try to get to everyone. So again, 877-789-2539. Okay, so let's talk about the pipe bomber, the suspect. This individual, Brian Cole Jr., has officially been charged with the explosive devices that were left behind, allegedly, around the RNC and the DNC. Now, according to CNN, that is a white guy, but Thankfully, you have your own eyes, of course. It was very interesting to sit back and watch because, again, 5 years? I mean, I don't know what the explanation for this all is. This took a very long time to get to the bottom of this. And when you read the criminal complaint, well, it sounds like they should have had this in the bag, if this is true, within a couple of months. So what the heck happened here? Well, I want to turn to clip 15 because the Attorney General Pam Bondi says that the tip received, which they said brought them to the suspect, it wasn't a new tip. Take a listen.
Thank you so much. So any theory on why Kamala Harris has never mentioned coming within 20 feet of being assassinated, and any news on why her Secret Service team took so long to find this bomb at the DNC?
No, but what I will tell you is that evidence has been sitting there collecting dust. This wasn't a new tip. It wasn't some new evidence. It was the hard work of President Trump's administration, Deputy Director Bongino and Director Patel. I watched them from day one come in here and say, we are going to solve this crime. And they did, working hand in hand with U.S. Attorney Pirro and all of our great attorneys.
Okay, so they claim that they have caught the J6 pipe bomber. I don't know if this is a slam dunk, but I'm no great legal mind, but joining us is one. Please welcome to the show, Joseph McBride. He is a criminal defense attorney, trial lawyer, and overall patriot. And I look forward to hearing his take on all of this, because I know McBride has been following this story, of course, for many, many years now. It's good to have you on, my friend. I just kind of want to get your take to start this off with this criminal complaint. What are your thoughts on it thus far?
It doesn't feel right to me. Feels like a load of crap. I am not buying what they're selling at all. Look, the idea that they had this information for 5 years and they sat on it, it was in some dusty room somewhere, and they just came upon it now after the Blaze put out their story, it stinks to high heaven. I don't believe it. I don't trust the government. I certainly don't trust the FBI. This FBI team, the Department of Justice, has not delivered on its promises to the American people. This feels like it just doesn't. I don't know what to call it, Brianna. It doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel right. The idea that they have somebody who looks like this guy, walks like this guy, talks like this guy, who doesn't fit the model that everybody thought the pipe bomber was going to fit, that this guy was just sitting there on the shelf the entire time, is absolute nonsense. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. And, I'm interested to see what it says, to see what comes out. But this is what we do know. We know that there's the principle of cause and effect. Whether or not the Blaze got it right or got it wrong, the Blaze provoked the Department of Justice and the FBI to do whatever it needed to do to either find this guy or come up with this information. The timing is off. My gut is off about it. I go on my gut on everything in life. When I disobey my gut, I pay dearly for it. So I'm going to stick with my gut until I see more evidence indicating that this is actually what they claim it to be. Because right now, none of this feels right. None of it feels right at all.
Yeah, McBride, I actually did challenge a little bit of this because I read this criminal complaint. Although this might be good. It's like additional evidence to seal the deal. This doesn't feel like a slam dunk at all. It just feels like, okay, they were in the area at the time based on their cell phone records. If I wanted to pin something on someone, maybe you could use that as an excuse. You could take their phone somewhere to pin them in the air. I mean, this, it's not a slam dunk for me. The conspiracy theories in my own head kind of go off. And I asked the FBI specifically those questions as to, is there more here? They said to me specifically that there's more evidence. I said, how did you even get to this guy to even know to look at his financial records to dig into all of this? They said, we'll learn more over the next couple of days, and especially when he does make his first criminal appearance in court, which is expected later this afternoon. So I look forward to seeing that. But you know, when Steve Baker and the Blaze released their report as to who they suspected was the pipe bomber, I reached out to a bunch of people, and someone high up in national intelligence did tell me that they were briefed recently by the FBI, and the FBI did not name the suspect that they named, the Blaze named. The FBI had a person in mind, and it wasn't what the Blaze named. So here's my thought on this. If they knew who the suspect was, and you're familiar with FBI investigations, obviously, looking at them and defending people in court against them, why would it have taken weeks for them to even make this arrest in the first place?
There's no good answer for it. Mm-hmm. Again, none of it adds up. Look, the guys who went to the Capitol on January 6th, the amount of information that was obtained that day for people who went there is unprecedented in any investigation in the history of this country. January 6th is the largest and most expensive, comprehensive investigation in the history of the United States of America. That is not hyperbole. That is a factual statement. They should have bank records. They should have his phone pinging wherever he was. They should be able to locate him. They should have his social media records, and they should have 5 years of history after that. What did he do? Where did he go? Who did he speak to? What did he post about? So on and so forth. My understanding from the articles that I've read is that his family is denying it. You have a mother or a grandmother who's denying it, saying that, you know, he's a quiet guy. He's not really into politics, and there's no way he did things like this. So sometimes in these situations, you have a parent going, yeah, my child, there's something off about him. And we were wondering, this is not one of those situations. The family appears to be taking up for him, right? So we don't know enough yet. So right now, this isn't much different than the Blaze story. What I can say is that I've worked on these cases personally for a very long time with all types of people, and at not any point in time did the government ever work with us, ever try to help us. They did nothing but try to hurt us, obstruct us, and thwart our investigations. We had to put together puzzle pieces that took months and years to do. Sometimes you get it wrong, sometimes you get it right. But I give my credit to the people at the Blaze, whether they got it right or whether they got it wrong. It was a good faith, patriotic effort to do the right thing, because the FBI up until that point had done squat, had done nil, nada, zilch, nothing for 5 years. So the fact that we have something now, again, it's the principle of cause and effect. Now, this individual who's been charged is innocent until proven guilty. He has a right to a fair trial. He has a right to competent representation, and he has a right to defend himself. And if the FBI gets this wrong, then they'll have egg on their face. But the idea that this guy just got conjured up out of thin air, some dusty file that was sitting on a shelf somewhere, and all of a sudden they found it through their hard work, it's a load of crap. It's insulting to the American people. It's insulting to anybody who practiced law for a long time, to anybody who knows anything about investigating crimes or investigating anything like this. And we have to see what they say. But my skepticism and my healthy dose of distrust in our government, so a principle that our founding fathers shared with us, is at an all-time high. And, you know, I won't believe anything about this guy until it's proven in court. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be rooting for this guy. I'm going to be rooting for this guy against the FBI, because that's how much I don't believe it. And if he goes down, then he goes down. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I want to see more evidence. I want to see what else they have, because all of this just feels like, I mean, I know what the FBI, I know what these three-letter agencies are capable of doing to people. I've seen it time and time again. You know, I've spoken with Cheryl Atkinson. Another one is another great example. She was working on a bombshell report that embarrassed the Obama administration. And then a whistleblower told her to be careful because the federal government was looking to plant child pornography on her husband's device. And they were in the process of doing that. And so I know what they do. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend like this is a slam dunk. I need to see more evidence to really sell me on this. And I'm sure even if they were to bring this in front of a jury in D.C., I don't see them getting a conviction on this at all right now. And, you know, by the way, before we went to air with you, CNN just actually released a report saying that they believe that this person told the FBI, Cole, the suspect, told the FBI that he didn't believe in the 2020 election results. And so they're trying now, obviously, to make it appear like maybe there's a right-wing angle to all of this, CNN is at least. But keep in mind, there was about, I think it was 50% of Democrats also didn't believe that Joe Biden won the election either. So although they worked aggressively hard to make it a right-wing issue, it was actually something that was very bipartisan. But I wanted to turn to a clip of Dan Bongino yesterday, because they're all doing the victory lap right now. So Dan Bongino, deputy director of the FBI, did make an appearance yesterday on Fox News and was asked about why the previous administration didn't solve this case sooner. Take a listen.
Is you did not find any new evidence. It was all there, had been there for the longest period of time. The only difference between you and Director Wray and the Biden DOJ is they did not prioritize it. Why? And I know it wasn't easy to solve, but you did it in 8 months.
Yeah. John, I don't know what the hell this prior leadership team was doing outside of, you know, targeting political opponents, weaponizing the FBI, destroying its reputation, embarrassing agents that are doing really good work out there catching terrorists, CCP spies, and everyone else. It's almost like they were intentionally trying to decimate faith in institutions. It's horrifying. I don't know what they were doing. I can tell you what happened, though, when we got there, the director and I. My first meeting, I swore in, and I kid you not, probably 15 minutes later, and the people who are in the meeting know, I said, when I get in there, I want a full brief on this pipe bomber case on day one. And I looked at the case agent after getting a full brief on what they'd done, and they had done some a pretty extensive amount of work. They had chased down, I think, thousands of leads. 6,000-plus interviews had been conducted, hundreds of tips, and it still was relatively stale, the case. And I grabbed the case agent on the way out, and I said, you're going to get me this guy. You're going to track this guy down, and you're going to find him. You're going to get me this guy. I want him. And that started what's been almost a 9-month operation right now to
all
make
right,
sure that we
I want to step in on this because obviously Fonji, you know, touting his own work there. We heard that clearly, obviously. But he outlines the fact that he's very aware that the previous administration was doing a lot of weaponization things behind the scenes. They were going after people, obviously. But there haven't been any arrests. There hasn't been anything meaningful. I mean, this is obviously great if this is the suspect, the pipe bomber. This is great news. But this is very, very late in the game, like you mentioned. It comes after the blaze broke, who they suspected was the person in all of this, responsible for this. But he's talking about what they did behind the scenes. How come we still haven't seen any major arrests in that sense?
It's a load of crap, man. That is acting. What is he, Clint Eastwood? I pulled the guy aside and I said, I want you to get this guy. And he got, get the hell out of here, bro. What do you take me for? This is nonsense. None of this adds up.
Yeah.
Okay, nothing adds up about Thomas Crooks. Nothing adds up about the pipe bomber. The good people like you, good journalists out there, good lawyers out there, the American public, were putting pressure on the FBI to perform. That's a great thing. But the idea that they're out there, you know, kicking ass and taking names, and the posse is out there rounding up people and bringing them inside, and they're all being prosecuted for the people who are in that administration and all the horrible things they've done, it's a load of garbage. Look, if this is the guy, and at the end of the day, if they prosecute this guy and he's convicted beyond a reasonable doubt and the evidence demonstrates to the court and to the public that this is him, well, then God bless America. That's a good day. Until that day comes, Dan Bongino, I'm sorry to say, I think you're a great guy. I'm not buying what you're selling. I like you much more as a podcaster. I'm not feeling the whole FBI thing at all. And none of this feels real to me. I think anybody with their spidey senses who are looking at the situation, just like people looked at the election and they said, you know, I don't have all the facts, but I know the election was stolen. I know in my gut and I know in my heart of hearts that we got robbed. I feel the same exact way about all this nonsense. So until they prove it up, you know, going on Fox News and talking to Sean Hannity, you know, yeah, we did it. And, you know, I pulled him aside. Do this for your country, kid. You know, make us all proud. Get the hell out of here. I'm not buying it at all. None of it makes sense. We need information, we need facts, we need convictions. Until then, I mean, you can put that in your pipe and smoke it. I don't even want to hear about it. It's nonsense.
Well, and since we're on the topic of nonsense, I was really fired up this week when I saw that he put this tweet out about our own Miranda Devine. Now, I say our own because I think Miranda Devine has proven time and time again that she's an absolute patriot. She was one of the only people who were brave enough to bring us the Hunter Biden laptop story. In fact, I know personal background that it was punted at Fox and then the New York Post took it because I was told by sources that she applied a lot of pressure for the Post to run it. And then you have Dan Bongino referring to Devine, who's highly respected as a deep state divine is the nickname he's given her in all of this, all because of a report that she put out with people who worked for the FBI, who supported this new leadership change and want them to particularly to go out there and to reform the agency. Now, they've given forward a report, I believe it's like 119 pages, of their assessment on the job that's been done so far about Dan Bongino and Cash Patel, what they've done so far at the agency. And the interesting point to this is one of the major, major things is they're calling out people like the deputy director for caring more about social media posts rather than going and getting to the crux of this job and going into there to actually do the uprooting of the corruption issues. And then Dan, I guess, proves Miranda's reporting, right? And then just goes out there and calls her deep state divine and then attacks her reporting because he cares more about social media than presenting the facts. I mean, to be fair, McBride, I've continuously reached out about personnel matters, people who are being fired. At least give me a number of how many people have been fired who you've linked to a lot of these weaponization events that were taking place under the Biden regime. And they can't give me anything. I'm not asking for names. Give me numbers. So while they're sitting there and telling you that there's people who are trying to advocate for the old guard, and they're against the new reforms that have been made. I mean, why the heck can't he just give us some information about the new reforms being made? Because we're not seeing anything.
First off, Dan Bongino should issue an apology, a formal apology to Miranda Devine. Calling Miranda Devine deep state divine is absolutely ridiculous. That's like calling Trump the deep state. It makes no sense. First off, when it comes to January 6th stuff, she was the first mainstream journalist at the New York Post, the first member of the mainstream media to cover it, right? She wrote an article about work I was doing back in January or February of 2021. I mean, that's how early and how courageous she was when it comes to this stuff. And then there's the laptop from hell. There's the Hunter Biden story. There's the fact that she took on the intelligence community internationally when she went after Hunter Biden, put herself at great risk. She was celebrated by everybody on the right. She continues to be celebrated by everybody for her good work, including Dan Bongino. The fact that he's now calling her deep state divine, and he's not saying that as a podcaster. He's saying that as somebody who's a part of the upper echelon of the FBI, the federal government. It is absolutely ridiculous. It is preposterous. It is wrong. It is filthy. He should never, ever say something like that. Dan Bongino, you're not a private citizen anymore. You work for me. You work for Brianna Murillo. You work for Miranda Devine. You work for the American public. You are funded and you are paid by the American taxpayer. And by virtue of your post, you need to endure and you need to understand and you need to welcome criticism and skepticism that comes from the American public, especially well-thought-out journalists who are a minority in today's world. The fact that you're calling her deep state divine is disgusting. And when you leave your post and you come back to the podcast world, you know, I look forward to debating you on the issue. I look forward to having a conversation with you on the issue, whatever it's going to be. But you need to apologize about it because what you did is wrong. And you're not doing it as a private citizen. You're doing it as a member of the federal government. It's absolutely ridiculous. It shatters his credibility as a man. It shatters his credibility as a podcaster. It shatters his credibility as a member of the American right, which again, and now all of a sudden they have this case that makes all this other bad crap go away. I'm not buying any of this at all, Brianna. I don't like it. It stinks to high heaven. I don't trust it. And again, we have to see what happens. I think there's just been an unprecedented level of incompetence. These people have laid down and done nothing. And all of a sudden, when their back is up against the wall, they come up with a dusty file in a room. So, man, we got the guy. Nah, it doesn't work like that. It's not reality.
Yeah, and the burnt bag story, there's more there that we're going to learn more about in the time coming because they continue to go, oh, there's burn bags left in a closet space, but they won't tell you how they got to the burn bags. They won't tell you who the source of that was and what happened to that source afterwards. And you know, we're still digging into that. But this is what they do. They continuously go out there, McBride, and they continue to just poke and poke. And people who are brave enough to come forward and who don't want these exclusives handed to them directly, like so many other outlets like the Fox Newses of the world do, who actually speak and who actually speak against the machine, the FBI machine still, which Miranda Devine is doing, they attack her. And I think it's an absolute disgrace because she's so well-respected. In fact, the administration respects her enough that so many people, key people, sit down with her, including the president, and do have discussions with her. So it's an absolute disgrace, of course. I want to turn to, while we still have time, Tish James, because you know the reports yesterday that a federal grand jury in Virginia has rejected filing charges against her. This is interesting, given the fact that obviously the original charges were dismissed. What's the status of all of this? Because if a grand jury, in fact, does reject possibly indicting her, can we still wait and maybe hold off for like the appeals process on the dismissal originally?
No, it's over. She won. It's a wrap. Look, President Trump is a lot of things. He's a lot of great things. He's a good businessman. He's a great executive. Mm-hmm. When it comes to tariffs, when it comes to the economy, when it comes to foreign relations, he's spot on. One of his weak spots, in my humble opinion, is the legal counsel that he's appointed, the lawyers who surround him, the lawyers who are at the DOJ, the lawyers who are at other places. When he was defending the election lawsuits or whether he's prosecuting these suits now, they're not getting their job done. Lawyers are judged on their results. Lawyers are judged on their ability to advocate, their ability to put up a good fight, and their results. And you have to understand, when you're going into like a court like D.C. or New York or certain parts of Virginia, you're going to have to deal with the judges there. You're going to have to deal with the system there. And unless your case is airtight, you're going to lose because the court is stacked against you. One of the things about President Obama, Barack Obama, who went before, obviously, President Trump, was he was a lawyer. He was a well-thought-out lawyer, and he appointed people to the bench all over the bench that are still affecting the what's going on right now, right? These are Obama-appointed judges that are repeatedly shooting down what President Trump is trying to accomplish, right? This stuff has been happening. The legal team knows this. They're going in. Sometimes there's people who haven't been appointed. They've been appointed, but they haven't been confirmed by the Senate. They're being challenged, and rightfully so. There are other times where they're going in half-cocked, and they don't have all the facts. These are not cases by social media or the court of public opinion. These are cases in a court of law where you have to prove up the charges, even to get an indictment. It's harder for a right-leaning cause or a right-leaning prosecution, objectively, to get an indictment, to get a case to trial and to win trial at any of these courts. We're seeing that. I think President Trump is the greatest president that this certainly of my lifetime, maybe the greatest president that the United States has ever had. But I do think that one of his weak spots is when it comes to the lawyers that he's appointed and that he has surrounding him. So this is another failure. We're seeing these failures all over the place. And I don't think that it's going to get any better. I hope that President Trump focuses on what's really important when it comes to the legal process, and that's getting as many judges as he possibly can on the bench.
Yeah, McBarr, that needs to be a top priority because we continuously have these issues. And I know that's his priority personally, but it's the people behind the scenes who I don't think are carrying out his agenda appropriately. So We'll continue to see. I know Cash Patel yesterday during interviews, the FBI director, giving some type of hints that it's not completely over yet, but it seems pretty much like that one is dead on arrival at this point. McBride, thank you for all the incredible work that you do. And of course, joining us to give us your perspective on all of this. Give him a follow on X, McBride Law NYC. That's McBride Law NYC. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Brianna. Have a nice day.
You as well. All right, folks, we are taking your call in the next segment of the program. Give me a call, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. Maybe you like Piers Morgan and you don't like my take on all of this and you want to debate me on Piers Morgan being a patriot. Give us a call. We could talk about it. We could hash things out. And a lot of you guys are on lines right now want to talk the J6 pipe bomber story as well. So we'll get to your calls in just a little bit. In the meantime, though, if you haven't done so already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because right now we've got a couple of hours left in this contest to win a couple of really cool rides. You could win a Jeep 392 as well as a 2025 Ford Raptor. And if that's not good enough, we're also going to throw in potentially $20,000. Every purchase gets you about 50 times the entries that we normally do give out for all of this. So your odds of winning go drastically up. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. As if that wasn't a reason enough, we're also doing buy one, get one free on all supplements right now over at the shop. Again, buy one, get one free. That's only going to be lasting another couple of hours. So don't put this off. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. This is an incredible sale, incredible opportunity, of course, to win two sick rides and a lot of cash over at thealexjonesstore.com. More ahead.
Real quick, I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home, day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the Methylene Blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now like my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But yeah, so I'm going to stick on that. And
I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, I need a lot of help too. And I brought a line that's really good for your dog if you give them like a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. But yeah, I just thought I would tell you guys about my experiences so far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear. And we love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get, you know, get healthier, not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I've fluctuated weight wise too. And so finding something that works is really important, and not to get hooked on those like high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well.
Thank you.